Hi, thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association serving the printing and packaging industry.
Today, we're stepping right into a pretty intense environment. The shop floor in industrial or graphic communications settings. Think high-speed machinery, potent chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a high-stakes place. So our mission here is simple. We want to quickly pull together the safety and health protocols that really make a difference. We're aiming to go beyond just the basics, you know. We need to understand the specific rules protecting people from, well, everything, mechanical dangers, chemical exposures, fire, even things like too much noise. This is your fast track to getting up to speed.
Exactly. And when you boil it all down, the main goal of any good safety and health program is pretty straightforward. It's about recognizing potential hazards, figuring out how serious they are, and then controlling them. And a hazard is really just anything that could potentially cause injury or illness. It has to be about prevention, not just reacting after something bad happens.
That focus on recognizing and controlling things before they happen is crucial, isn't it? And recognition really starts with being vigilant. All our sources emphasize that regular inspections, using a solid checklist every time, are just fundamental for keeping things safe.
Those checklists are the practical side, yeah. But the real foundation for employee safety, it's information. It's what the regulations call the employee's right to know. Critically important.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack that right to know. Because especially in places like graphic communications with all those solvents and inks, the danger isn't always obvious, right? It often revolves around OSHA's Hazard Communication Standard, the HCS. And this isn't just some guideline, it's the law. OSHA says employers must provide a safe workplace, sure, but they also have to actively tell employees about hazardous materials they might encounter, train them, and give them access to the info.
Right. And what's really smart about the HCS is how it simplifies complex chemical safety into three key things every employee needs to grasp. First up is hazard classification. Basically, knowing what kind of danger you're dealing with. Is it flammable?
Yeah.
Corrosive? Toxic? You need to know the type of risk.
Okay, so that's step one. What's next?
Second, you've got the labels on chemical containers. These are for quick, right there on the spot info. And third, the big one, safety data sheets or SDS.
The SDS, that's the detailed document, right? Is it something people actually use day to day or more for emergencies?
It's really the complete playbook. If things go sideways, say there's a spill or exposure, the SDS tells you exactly what protective gear you should have been wearing, the right first aid steps, how to clean it up safely. It's vital information.
Got it. So the knowledge is there in the SDS. But like you said, knowing about a hazard doesn't stop a machine from injuring someone if it's running. So let's pivot from knowing the danger to actually controlling the mechanical risks. These are often the most, well, visible threats in any plant with big machinery.
Definitely. And mechanically, control comes down to a few key things. Proper machine guarding, strict lockout attack procedures, LOTO, using the right personal protective equipment or PPE, and of course, good worker training.
Let's talk about guarding first. What needs guarding? We're looking at protecting against three main types of mechanical hazards. You have the obvious rotating parts, shafts, flywheels, that sort of thing. But maybe even more dangerous are the point of operation hazards, where the actual work gets done in places where power or motion is transmitted. Think about hidden cams or collars moving fast.
Those hidden spots can be tricky.
But the one that really stands out in this industry, nip points. Where two cylinders or rollers meet, the force generated there is immense, crushing. These don't just cause injuries, they can mangle or even sever limbs. It's brutal, which is why the rule is absolute. Never, ever remove a guard, not even for a second.
And speaking of guards, if you're doing maintenance or repair, even the best guard doesn't help if the machine suddenly powers up. That's where lockout tagout is literally a lifesaver. A lockout device physically stops the power from connecting. It locks it out. A tagout device is different. It's a clear warning sign telling people not to operate the machine. Both are critical, but lockout provides that physical barrier.
So one physically prevents, the other warns. Makes sense.
Yeah, and you also see smaller but still important safety features built into the machines themselves. Things like those little flip covers over start buttons to prevent accidentally bumping them on, or the inch button you find on big presses. It lets you move the machine just a tiny bit for adjustments, keeping it totally under control. These small details make a huge difference.
They really do add up. And just some general reminders everyone needs to keep in mind. No jewelry or loose clothing near moving parts ever. Keep floors clean and dry. A slip near machinery is bad news. And, seems obvious, but only use equipment you've actually been trained on. Don't guess.
Okay, that covers the big mechanical stuff.
Yeah.
Now let's switch over to chemical hazards. These are often the invisible dangers affecting lungs, skin, eyes. So for chemicals, employees absolutely must know the specific hazards of what they're handling. That means reading labels carefully and always wearing the right personal protective devices, PPD.
PPD, right. Similar to PPE, but maybe more focused on the chemical aspect.
Pretty much, yeah. And the kind of protection needed really varies. Think about volatile organic solvents or those blanket washes used in printing. They give off harmful vapors, right? Mm-hmm. So you need good local exhaust ventilation, maybe even a respirator in some cases. But then you have image carrier chemicals developers, fixers. Those can irritate skin or cause burns on contact.
So for those, you'd need different gear.
Exactly. For those, you're looking at gloves, probably a face shield, maybe an apron. And always, all chemicals need clear labels and must be stored safely in a proper safety cabinet, not just left out.
Okay, that makes sense. Different risks, different protection.
Now, here's a really crucial warning. It's fundamental chemistry, potentially life-saving, but people still get it wrong sometimes. When you're diluting a concentrated acid, you must always pour the acid into the water slowly. Never, ever add water to the concentrated acid.
Why is that order so critical?
Because adding water to concentrated acid causes an extremely fast, violent reaction.
Yeah.
It generates a lot of heat instantly, causing the acid to boil and splatter right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly dangerous. Acid into water. Always. A to W.
Wow. Okay, A to W. That's a vital piece of knowledge. And speaking of volatile things, solvents and their vapors bring us right to fire prevention. Industrial settings, especially printing plants, can be like tinderboxes, can't they? You've got paper dust, those anti-set-off powders, tons of flammable solvents.
Absolutely. Fire safety needs constant vigilance.
Right. So specific precautions are key, like always use a vacuum for dust cleanup. Using compressed air just creates a dust cloud, which could explode. Wipe up solvent and oil spills immediately. Use those approved safety cans with the spouts for storing and transferring flammable liquids.
And grounding and bonding equipment is essential too, right? To prevent static sparks.
Crucial, yeah. Static electricity is a major ignition source. And finally, those solvent-soaked rags, they can actually spontaneously combust if just piled up. They have to go into a covered metal waste can.
Good point. Okay, so we've covered mechanical, chemical, and fire. What about those ambient risks? Like noise.
Right, noise. It's measured in decibels, dBA. OSHA requires monitoring if noise levels hit 85 dBA over an average workday. That's the point where hearing damage can start.
And the absolute limit for an 8-hour day is 90 dBA. If it's louder than that, ear protection isn't optional. It's mandatory. Your hearing needs protection just like your hands or eyes. It's cumulative damage.
And speaking of eyes, it's not just about impact protection like safety glasses, is it? There are light hazards too.
Definitely. Things like pulsed xenon or mercury vapor lamps used in plate making, those powerful UV lights for curing inks, even ozone lights on some equipment, and machines using infrared or lasers. These can cause serious, sometimes instant eye damage if you're not using the right specialized eye protection. Standard safety glasses won't cut it for intense light sources.
Okay, so that covers the immediate worker safety side, which is mostly OSHA's territory. But then there's the bigger picture, right? How the plant affects the environment. That brings in the EPA.
Exactly. OSHA focuses on worker safety inside the plant. The EPA focuses on the plant's impact on the air, water, and land outside.
And for industries like printing, the EPA rules are pretty significant. The Clean Air Act amendments, the CAA, are a big deal because of all those solvents we mentioned. Title I aims to reduce VOC's, volatile organic compounds. And if a facility emits too much pollution, Title V kicks in, requiring air permits and often expensive pollution control equipment. It gets complex fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those permits can be a major undertaking.
And then there's the Clean Water Act, the CWA. That governs wastewater discharge. Things like effluent from industrial laundry, rules about handling hazardous spills, preventing pollution in waterways.
It seems like a lot of regulation to manage.
It is, but the interesting thing is a lot of the steps you take for environmental compliance are also just good business. Being proactive about reducing waste usually saves money and makes you more efficient.
That makes sense. Can you give some examples?
Sure. Things like switching to lower VOC solvents, maybe using ink recovery systems so you waste less ink, moving towards newer technologies like UV-cured or vegetable-based inks, and of course, maximizing paper recycling. These things cut down on waste, reduce your regulatory burden, and often improve your bottom line. It's a win-win.
That's a good way to look at it, turning compliance into an advantage. And really, underpinning all of this mechanical safety, chemical handling, environmental rules is maintenance, isn't it? Proper maintenance is safety. cleaning, adjusting, lubricating parts, checking tolerances and alignment, measuring wear, testing equipment. It all prevents failures that could lead to injuries.
Absolutely. Maintenance is proactive safety in action, which, when you think about the sheer breadth of all these rules we've touched on, from knowing SDS details to physically locking out a machine to navigating EPA air permits, it really highlights why you need dedicated safety specialists. These folks need incredibly broad knowledge, OSHA, EPA, specific industry practices to manage it all effectively.
They really tie it all together.
Yeah. So here's something to think about as we wrap up. We talked about checklists and inspections, but modern industrial equipment generates tons of data usage rates, vibration sensors, temperature monitors. What if, instead of just reacting to inspection findings, we can use AI and predictive analytics on that data? Could we actually anticipate failures or unsafe conditions before they happen? Could predictive maintenance transform compliance from a chore into a truly proactive safety system that stops hazards in their tracks? Something to consider.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.